Lydia found, secured this article for me, and I was reading it, and I was like, wow, this is really awesome, because it really talks about our levels of leadership, and it's important for us to see where we are. And for me, it was like a really cool article, because I kind of saw where I was when I started with Manatech and then how I grew from there. So I'm going to interject a lot of Manatech stuff in this to help you guys to really see this, as well as like give you some concepts of what do you need to do to start being at different leadership levels. Because, you know, John Maxwell is perhaps one of my favorite authors. I just love all of his books on leadership. And he covers everything from A to Z. So, but this book that he put together, The Five Levels of Leadership, he spent about, he recognized the issue years ago, and he spent about 3 years accumulating data and information and just, you know, doing a lot of digging around building this book. So there's a lot behind it. It's a lot of great information, and I can tell you that I totally related to what he said. I think he's got some really good focus here in terms of how we lead and how we fall into leadership, right? Because some of us on this call, and I'm not pointing fingers at anyone, I'm just saying some of us, you know, as we grew in our lives, we always were like the flower kids. We hung out at the back of the room, wallflowers, we sat on the side of the room. We never wanted to be in front of a class. And a lot of the reasons why we never wanted to be recognized or in front of a class, because we had fears about public speaking. Did you guys know that fear of public speaking is the number one fear in the world? Isn't that wild? I guess that's why we have so many of those programs that you can go out and join, you know, Toastmasters and whatever, and to learn how to do public speaking. I didn't have a problem with that. I mean, I was a kid that came out of the womb, and I started public speaking on, like, day one, I think. I don't know, but it was probably very close. I was like, leader of my, at 5 years old in my neighborhood. I was the captain of the baseball team, and there were no other girls, and they were boys 5, 6, 7, and 8 in this team, and I was 5, and my mother just absolutely marveled at this. So somewhere along my line, I got leadership, and I think sometimes people are born with some of those qualities. But again, everyone's different. We're all different. We all come from different backgrounds. We have different upraisings. We have different, you know, rearings, as my husband would say. We have different, different influences in our life, which really support us or cause us to go a different direction, not in a supportive way, in terms of glomming onto the importance of leadership. So let's look at John's book and talk about the five levels of leadership, because there are distinctively different types of leadership. And this isn't about, we talked about leadership style a few weeks back, and I thought that was a very powerful call as well. So you might want to relook at that if you haven't had a chance to do it, because you really want to understand what your leadership style is and the importance of blending styles and being able to cross over and exhibit different styles in different, you know, situations. But this one's about what level are you on and what level you need to be on, you know, in order to really achieve what you might want to achieve in your life. And John starts with the most basic form of leadership, which is called positional leadership, level one. And positional leadership is, he calls it the lowest level of leadership. And the reason why is it's because it's leadership that's based exclusively on one thing, your position. Now, if you want to have a good understanding of this leadership, all you got to do is think about having a job. You know, when I was a kid, I growing up, of course, I was out there trying to make money. I was always kind of eager to get ahead, especially since my mom only put one chocolate chip in, and when she made homemade chocolate chip cookies, and we never did anything but homemade, you know. So one, she'd make the cookies, put them on the tray, and then she'd take out the bag of chocolate chips and put one chocolate chip in each cookie. So in order for me to get enough chocolate that I love so much, I'd have to eat like 10 of these stupid cookies just to get my chocolate. So I said, I'm never going to want for chocolate. I think that was a big influence in my life. I'm not sure, but it's so distinct in my history and my memory that I'm sure it drove me to make sure I was successful in life so I could buy as many bags of Nestle's morsels as I could ever dream of, right? Thank goodness I found a different place to put my money instead of chocolate. But the importance of it is that when you had your first job, when I was like a, you know, in my early teens, 12, 13, 14 or something, I went out and got a job. I mean, my boss, what was my boss to me? You know, in the jobs I have, when I can remember back to working at Boston store and things like that, you know, my boss was what? My boss played they played a role in my life. They scheduled my hours. They told me the rules. They had policy and procedures. That was what they did. But the boss was nothing more to me. I didn't really get to know her. I was more like intimidated by her because of what? Because of her position. This is called positional leadership. It's the lowest form of leadership. Because why? Because you're really not leading people. You're just, because of your position, that gives you some sense of authority over people, and thus you exhibit that authority. And that's, so you have subordinates. You don't have team members. You have subordinates. If I didn't get to know my boss very well, I was never going to be a team member, was I? Because I was just a subordinate to her. So, and their job is to implement rules, regulations, policies. I mean, you see this throughout a lot of corporate America, a lot of the lower-level jobs. That's what it's about, because it's just about, you know, what should I say, herding the cats, making sure the cats are doing what they're supposed to do and then creating the result, right? That's what it's all about. So, they say in the, you know, John Maxwell says, these kind of people typically have a hard time working with volunteers, young people, and the highly educated. When I saw that, I thought to myself, well, why would that be true? Well, it immediately came to me that the reason they have a hard time working with volunteers is because volunteers don't make any money. But the reason we put up with positional leaders in jobs is because we're there for one reason. We want a paycheck. So we're going to abide by the rules. We're going to do what they tell us to say. We're going to march to the drummer because we've, right? When you're a volunteer, you're not going to march to any drummer unless they do what? Unless they motivate you, unless they're inspirational. We need to be inspired or motivated as volunteers. Position one level leaders are not inspirational, motivational leaders. They are what? By the name of the brand that's put on it, the lowest level, which is they're leading only because they're in a position above other people. So what about young people? So that took care of volunteers. Well, young people need to have what? They need to have a vision. Young people are incredibly visionary. They don't want to just take any old job. They want to have a vision. They want to have a bigger picture. Well, positional leaders don't give you any bigger picture. They just give you a job. So that's why they have a hard time working with young people. And then highly educated people, what are their demands? I can tell you from my perspective, highly educated people, they want to grow. I mean, they want to keep on growing. They truly are committed to green and growing or ripe and rotting. They really want to have a sense that, you know, what they're doing is making a difference. It's being something bigger. It's creating, how am I growing? Well, being around a positional leader, you're not recognized, you're not honored, you're not growing, they're not trying to improve you as a person. They're just trying to get you to follow rules and regulations. And I just go, blah. You know, that's just, for me, it just makes me want to throw up. So there you go. A position is only required, it's only a level. It doesn't require any ability or effort. Now let's talk about positional leadership when it comes to Manatech, because I think it's important for you to get this. Who are positional leaders in Manatech? Who wants to get off mute and share? Who are positional leaders in Manatech? I know it takes a long time for people to get off mute. It's hard for me to have interactive sessions on a Monday call, but okay, let me go forward and describe them to you. How about a person that's just merely upline? I register you, you want to do the business. All of a sudden, I'm upline to you, so I'm a positional leader, right? People see that? It's just purely because I happen to have signed you up, and now you look to me to somehow lead, guide, and direct you. I only have one thing over you. That's, I'm your upline. So it's just because of the positioning. It doesn't mean I have any capacity to really motivate you, you know, drive you, create best results for you. I'm just a position. How about this? People who reach regional director status in your organization. So they're above you, and if they start, let's say I have a regional director above me, and I look at them, and I'm down below, and I look at them because I'm just signed up, and you're my upline regional. And what is the one thing I do have some respect for you because you got to regional director. But it's your position that is what's intriguing to me, and I might go meet you, and you might have nothing to say to me because what did you do to get to regional director? You just went out and signed up a bunch of people. You just unilaterally went out and signed up. You may not have gotten anyone in your organization to sign up anyone else. You just signed up a bunch of people. And you signed up 15 people, and all of a sudden you're regional director. Does that make you a leader? Well, it makes you a positional leader, but it doesn't make you an effective leader. So we can see how that, if we don't take it a step further, if we don't take on more responsibility for leadership, what do? We die. Our business dies. Everything dies around us. because now it's all about what we create, and we're just out there hopping around, jumping around, creating all this stuff, but we're not, there's no leading going on because we're just in a position. People get this, and this happens a lot in Manitech. I see it. I see people that are regional directors or even national directors that don't know how to lead anything. They just got there just purely out of just, you know, do. And leadership is about what? It's not about do or have. It's about beingness. It's about beingness. So let's talk about the second level of leadership. So the second level, beyond just pure position, gets to be what he calls permission. This type of leadership is based on relationships. So now all of a sudden, you're a regional director in Manitech, and you start building relationships with your people. And what do you mean by building relationships? Well, you build relationships because you find value in people. You like people, and you treat them like they have some value. And now they're going to like you because you value them. And that will help them do what? They will now try to follow you. They like being around you because you value them. So you're getting you can influence them, but it's influenced by what we call permission. In other words, it's not dictated for any other reason except that you've shown and you've committed to them and you've shown that you value them, that you're interested in them, that you like them. And so they now give you, what, permission to lead them because they know that you have in your mind their best interest. So you go, okay, I'll let them lead me because, you know, they like me. So this leadership level is really relational leadership. It's based on how much I know of a person, how I get to know them, and how good I am with that person, and that's going to help me lead them. And then by permission, because they know I like them and I value them, they're going to allow me to lead them. Now, what's the problem with this kind of leadership? It's more like a sorority club. Okay. Can you build your business like a sorority? Yeah. You can have a party every day. You can just say, hey, let's get relational. Let's go out and, you know, watch some baseball, basketball. Let's go to a style show. Let's go down to, you know, let's join Toastmaster together. Let's do this. Let's do that. And we can just go do all sorts of fun things, do parties, do this. But what are we doing here? We get stuck in this form of leadership. Because what happens is people get satisfied. They have good friends. It's kind of like I see a lot of my friends, like people in Mary Kay. This is where they get stuck. They get into, oh, we just love to hang out together and do things together because we support each other. We talk about family and kids and dogs and cats and where we want to go in life and da-da-da-da-da. And it's just one happy family. You follow me? You get that sense in that atmosphere. So the biggest problem with that leadership is you get stuck in it because it's fun and we have fun together. And then you wonder why a year later you're still a regional director when you're having fun together. Because I'm going to tell you right now, it's not enough. You get stuck. Level three becomes what we call production. If you want to get things done and you want to create results, you must go from level two to level three. Does that mean you don't value relationships? Absolutely must value. These are all tiered on each other, people. You've got to value relationships. You've got to let people know that they have value. You want to like people. These are important building blocks to get each of these levels a building block for the next level. So you want to create results. So you want to be able to get to production. If you don't create results, how long will you have people following you? Well, you might have the social club under number two. By permission, they might follow you forever because you know what? You've formed a social club. Why do we see some organizations that are just socially involved in Manitech? I see some that show up on Tuesday night. They're social. They're involved in Manitech because of what? Somebody values them, values their commitment, and they like them. But why aren't they bringing any new people to the Tuesday Night Live presentation? Because their leader or the leadership hasn't gotten them to level three, production. They're in the social environment. Can people just, some of you go, well, do we need to make it wrong if people just want to be social? We don't ever need to make people wrong. We just need to make people understand where they are. Because if a person that gets stuck at level two in this, I like you, you have value, this is fun, let's just really enjoy this and let's have fun, let's socialize, let's do things together. If you get stuck at that realm, it's only bad if the person who's stuck there wants to meet their dreams, wants to create a better lifestyle, got involved in Manatech because they want to get the presidential. Now they're dead in the water. So that's the problem with level two. Level three, get things done based on creating results. That's about us as leaders gaining influence and credibility with people to follow us because of the results we create and what we're doing in the organization. So that means what? What does it look like? It looks like action. Action, action, action. Get things done. This is a leader that says, okay, let's outline. Let's put together a schedule. What do you want to do over the next three business periods? Let's create a goal. Let's get out our action trackers. Let's watch the action that we create and see the relationship between activities and results. So you start building relationship between activities and results, and you start motivating people to take action because why they want to create results in their lives. That's what this production area is, okay? And when you have success and productivity, what happens? I put in the outline, it solves a lot of problems. Why does it solve a lot of problems? Because you get rid of that wham, 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 wham. Network marketing doesn't work. Oh, I've done this before and it never works. Wham, wham. You get rid of all this whining because all of a sudden people are going, my gosh, my business grew. And you all of a sudden get people with a positive attitude. They shift. So it makes leadership, does it make leadership easier or harder? I'm going to suggest easier. How many of you would rather work with people that have a positive mental attitude than those who have a negative mental attitude? That's an easy question, isn't it? We all want to work with positive people. Well, how do we get people to have a positive outlook on their business? Well, one way to do it is help them grow. And that means you need to be at level three. You need to be in the production. You need to get out there and say, okay, let's talk about production. And I'm not talking about, you know, today when I'm working with people, that's one of the reasons I love this Slight Edge program and the Slight Edge book is it's not about getting my people to say, I'm going to be executive director by the end of business period 13. And I'll look at them and go, you're only at 6,000 right now. That's huge. You're going to more than triple your business in the next three business periods. Why don't we just talk about how we shift on a month-to-month basis? What would make you really happy, but you know you can do more, but would really please you? Maybe you commit to increasing your organization by 1,000, you know, GPV each month, at least 1,000. So you put into your goal setting 1,000 plus, so that you, if you did over that, you're not going to be unhappy. And you never want to cap your goal setting. You never want to say, I want to increase my GPV this month by $100. Well, guess what's going to happen? If you work at it, you're going to get your 100, but you probably won't get 200 because you put a cap on it. Remember, as a man thinketh, so is he. Your belief structure, your mental models all play a role in all this. So don't limit those mental models. Don't put a limit on it. But this is where production comes in. We want production. We want to create results. We want to have action trackers. We want to have commitments. We want to have business plans. You know, this is where people, I have some people in my organization. In fact, I have had somebody that, you know, got all the way to presidential. But hated to do business plans, hated to plan, hated to set goals. And you know what? They didn't last very long at presidential. I mean, you're not going to stay at a level, you're not going to stay at a high level without a plan, without a structure, without a how do I create the results? What do I need to be doing on a daily basis? What are my high leverage activities? You need to build all of that in there so that you create the momentum and you continue it. No matter what level you reach, you continue it. The people that got the platinum presidential didn't start cruising when they hit presidential, right? They just kept going and growing and growing. You just keep going and going and going. You want to see somebody like that, watch Susan Havener. I mean, she was platinum. She fell off a little bit. Now she's back on, you know, going gangbusters. The woman's on fire. She doesn't sit back because and just cash her $20,000, $30,000 a month checks. She wants $50,000 or $100,000 a month. It was a lot more fun when she made $100,000 a month than it is when she makes $20,000 a month. Well, some of you on this call, you could say, well, Mary Jo, I would just love to make $20,000. Well, exactly. But for you, just you can put, it's going to be a lot more fun for me to make $3,000 a month than it is to make $300 a month, right? And that just takes a slight edge. It doesn't take these huge, grandiose ideas. So production, set up production, motivate your people, get them to have some success at some bite-sized goals so that they can feel successful, because that absolutely solves lots of problems, right? Now, leaders here are able to tackle big problems, face thorny issues. They can take their people to another level of effectiveness, and that's what you want to do. Now, are you going to be able to take everybody with you? No. Are certain people not going to follow you? Absolutely. Because it's their reality. It's what's their stuff. It's their roadblock. It's their mental models that are holding them back. You can help instill a drive in them. You can put this in place, but are you going to lose some when you get to this production level? Yes, because, you know, the number one reason is going to be because they don't believe they can produce. And if they don't have a belief structure to do that, you can help them with that, and that's where we're going to get into level four. But right now at level three, they're not going to produce because they don't have the belief structure to do it. They don't believe. There are a lot of people out there don't dream. I was talking to some people this weekend about, well, it's really hard for me to dream, Mary Jo. And I said, why? And they go, well, because of where I am. And I go, so where you are, it controls your life. Is that what you're telling me? Well, no. You know. And they go, well, it's just hard to believe in something that, you know, way out there that you can't see. And I go, so you don't believe in Jesus Christ? Oh, no. We don't have faith. Oh, I have faith. I don't, you know. I mean, it's really funny how we really can come up with rationale, can't we? Why? And the number one rationale, like, can I tell you this? Because this might help some of you. The number one rationale why people don't dream is they're trying to protect themselves. That's it. You just want to protect yourself. And you go, protect myself from what? And I go, from being disappointed. You want to protect yourself. You don't want to be disappointed. So you choose to just wipe out dreams off the face of the earth like they don't exist, like people don't dream. I don't want to dream anymore. I'm too old. I'm too young. I'm too fat. I'm too skinny. I'm too ugly. I'm too good looking. I'm too rich. I'm too poor. I'm too, you know, how many excuses can you come up with? 1,000. I mean, I shouldn't say 1,000 because some of you could come up with 10 times that. It's unlimited, infinity. An infinite amount of excuses exists for why not to dream. So are you going to run your life by excuses, or are you going to step on board and build the life that you were meant to have? That's all I ask people. Look at your life right now. Is this the life you were meant to have? Or do you want to create something better because you know there's something inside of you that's capable of doing that? No matter what your past looks like. That's the question you ask. So that's part of getting beyond. It's getting beyond. But people at the production level aren't going to know how to do that. And you as a leader aren't going to necessarily know how to do that if you're just a production leader. We have a lot of production leaders that are great at dotting I's, crossing T's, nuts and bolts. Here's your action tracker. Here's your thing, driving people to production. But what does it take? See, one of the things for me, I got stuck at production. I was doing production really well. In fact, in Manatech, I hit production. I mean, I got the presidential director back early on, first 2.5, 3 years in Manatech, boom, I was presidential director, right? And I was doing so much work for other people, it was amazing that I got there because I was really doing so much cross-line stuff, I helped everybody. But that was just my heart, that's my passion, that's who I am. So here I am at presidential director, but what did I find? I found a very empty place. This was my experience, so I'll share it with you. I was very empty at presidential. Why was I empty? I had a lot of people producing, but why was I empty at presidential? Because I looked at my organization, I said, I'm not helping my people be the kind of leaders they need to be. Because I couldn't see any of them getting to presidential. And I kept thinking to myself, wow, I don't have anyone really, you know, if it's going to be, it's up to me. Remember that saying? That saying stinks. In many ways, if it's going to be, it's not up to me. It's up to how I support people to be the best they can be. It's how I pour in other people to get them to be the best they can be. So I started thinking, what can I do differently to build leaders? And about the same time I was having this troubling conversation in my head, I got a phone call from somebody called Sona Vanderhoop. Some of you know her. She was involved with Clemmer for years. And she was calling me from Clemmer just saying, hey, you know, you're buying a ton of our books. I must have fell in love with her if how-tos were enough, we'd all be skinny, rich, and happy. I had no idea they did. Had no idea that they did personal development conferences. I just came across their book at a Manatech, at a Manifest, from a guy up in, Dennis Peckwin his name was, I'll never forget him. He did a self-development training at Manifest. And I was so turned on by his training, I still have the notes. I still have everything. He at the end of his training, he said, you know, about 3 months ago, a guy came up to me and said, you know, Dennis, I found this book, and it has all your stuff in it. And he said, what are you talking about? And he held up this book, If How-To's Were Enough, We'd All Be Skinny, Rich, and Happy. So he said, you know what, this is a good, and I had my phone to my ear walking out of that two and a half hour, you know, educational seminar at Manifest with a phone to my ear calling up saying, I want to order these books. And that, and I couldn't, they wanted to charge me $18 for a book. Some of you know this story. It's kind of funny. And I said, $18 for that skinny book? Forget it. I said, there's got to be a price break. So they told me another price break. And I said, no, there's got to be a better one. And they go, well, for $8, you can buy them for $8 a piece if you buy a whole case. So are you ready for this? Instead of spending $18 that day, I spent $800. I bought a case of these books. Does that give you, all of you on this call, an idea of what value I saw in the material I was exposed to? I saw incredible value. What was I going to do with $800 worth of books? Well, I was going to teach the world the value I saw, because it was so much, so valuable to me in that one session. I was going to go and knock people's socks off everywhere. So I started teaching and training from these books around Dallas-Fort Worth area, and about 3 months later, I ran out of books, so I bought another case. And here's poor Clemmer organization going, Mary Jo, you know, Sona called me in this time, and he said, you know, we're not in the book-selling business. And I thought, really? I mean, I'm buying books from you. I like them. I think they're great. And they go, well, have you ever been to any of our trainings, our seminars? And I said, no. And he goes, oh, well, the book is just kind of an overview. You really need. And I go, I'm already training your book. What do I need to go to Clemmer work for if I'm already training your book? Right? I mean, I was like incredulous over this. But I knew one thing. What was it that I knew, people? What I just told you. I was stuck at level 3. And I needed to go to level 4. I didn't know about the levels of leadership. All I knew was one thing. I wasn't creating leaders around me. So I needed to do something different. And in order for me to do something different, I can't just choose to do something different. I need to get some support and ideas on how I was going to do that. I needed to change. So I wanted a change agent. And when Sona called me and did this whole thing, I said, okay, great. So they even comped me to go up to Minneapolis to take their next training. So they're going to pay for my $300 entry thing. Well, you know, what did you think Mary Jo did? Mary Jo did what a leader should do. I called up three of my people up in the Minnesota area that were in my downline. I said, you know what? You guys can go to this Clemmer event with me, and I'll give you $100 off. I'll give you $100 off. So you only have to pay $200. Instead of $300 to go. So instead of me taking advantage of the $300, I flew up there, paid for my flight round trip. I paid for my own entry, and I allocated the $100 of each of the $300 they gave me to three of my people so they could attend as well, because I knew the value of the material. I really had no clue what the conference was about, because I said, I already am teaching the book, right? So I walked in with a little chip on my shoulder, which didn't serve me very well for the beginning stages, but the seminar blew me away. Personal mastery, how many of you have been there, done that? Some of you had had a lot of history of doing personal development work in the past. I had done very little. So to me, it was absolutely awesome. I mean, I was angry because I saw myself in a way that I didn't want to see myself, but how was I going to change if I didn't see myself? So that was all that. So that gets into leadership 4. So from that point on, what did I do? I entrench myself into Clemmer work and personal development work, and how I could be a better person, how I could get rid of being so competitive, how I could, you know, all the things that I had. I had so many issues around me. I had to be right all the time. Oh, that's really very good. Try to be right all the time and be at level 4 in leadership. Never going to happen. So there were roadblocks in my life that were gigantic. They were huge rocks in my knapsack. So for me, the Clemmer work led me into level 4. Leaders become great not because of their power, that's what I used to be, but how they empower others. That's where I am today. So it's how do we empower other people? If you don't know how to empower other people, you need to do more work on yourself. We need to help coach people and drive people. There are people in my organization I pour into all the time, and it's about helping them be better people. How do I help you be a better person? I can give you a business plan, and I can drive you to do A, B, C, D, but what's most important to me is how can I help you be a better person? Because if I can help you be a better person, if I can help you shift in your beingness, then who am I to you except somebody that just drives you to create results, right? I want to help you be a better leader so that when you climb up this ladder and you get to different leadership levels, you're going to be able to help other people, because then I become duplicatable. And that's what you want to do. So you want to make sure that you're helping empower other people. If they use their position in productivity, invest into others, the results. You know, and it's just about, it's not about the results I create, it's about the results people create. You build teamwork. This kind of organization has tremendous teamwork going on, because people learn to and work at a higher level. They work with each other. There are leaders being born every day. Yeah, there's huge investment in people, not just investing in people by telling them what to do to create results, but how to be. What is it going to take? What is it going to take for me to shift, for me to be the best possible leader in this organization? How to be better, it strengthens loyalty, because the results you're creating are 10 times what you could have created just under level 3. People like themselves better because they see a shift in their beingness. They become better people. They become better leaders. They perform at a higher level. So it's not leadership by position or permission or just production. It's people development. You know, these become lifelong friends, lifelong followers, because you're helping them live a more meaningful life. This is true investment, right? Great. Now let's get to level 5. Level 5 is pinnacle, and that's the ultimate. This requires not just effort, skill, and intentionality, but a high level of talent. And this is where you help other leaders to become level 4 leaders. This is a whole nother level. This takes an inordinate personality. Number one, you can never be threatened by people. You want to build people to be better than you. I see a lot of this infighting going on in Manatech sometimes at the lower levels of people just getting angry with their downlines and all this kind of stuff. And I go, where are you going with this? You know what I mean? You just, because there's so much competitiveness. They're afraid. When people say to me, well, what if this person gets ahead of me? I go, oh, praise God. I wish everybody I ever brought in Manatech got ahead of me. I mean, I wish they all got the platinum presidential. Why? Because today I'd be a multiple platinum. If everybody in my organization who I brought in got the platinum presidential, where would I be today? I'd be so out there. I'd be building a church every day in Brazil, a new church every day. They couldn't keep up with my church building, right? I mean, I have so many. I'd have 50 Changing Environments Foundation buildings around the country. I would be doing so much more than what I'm doing today because I would have so much more capital. So the idea is that I have no problem with people exceeding me. I want to build leaders who are led because of what? Because of their ability to empower other people. That's what I want to do. I want to build empowerment, not enabling. Enabling is very much what Manatechers tend to do. When people call you for answers, you say, I think you know where that answer is. Where could you find it? You start empowering people to find their own answers. When they ask questions, I think you already know that. You want to build into people the strength of who they are. Don't take it away from them. Be an enabler by you always having all the answers. Let them have the answers. It's a very tough thing to do because we always want to have the answers. So you want to empower people, not enable people. And that's a big movement for a lot of people. In fact, I think I did a training on that. I'm not sure I'll dig it out if I did, because I think it's an important one for a lot of us. So we build level 4 leaders. We build empowering people that empower their people. And does this take a lot of time and effort? Oh, my gosh. It takes a ton of energy. It's a lot of work. And that's what happens to us. We get a little lazy about it, so we don't do it. And when we get lazy about things, they don't get accomplished because we're not doing them. So we want to. It's more than just leading followers. It's just a whole nother level. It's about you know, driving people and you know, getting them to be willing to develop leaders in their organization, empowering them so they can empower others. And then what happens to you is you start creating a legacy in what you do, and you create level 5 organizations. And I love the quote that came out of his book that said, level 5 leaders often transcend their position, their organization, and sometimes their entire industry. Because it's so incredibly empowering to build a business that empowers other people and creates greatness underneath them. And where does the focus need to be when you get, and this is another thing, it gets hard. in both 4 and 5, your focus has got to be off of you. I mean, you got to focus on yourself to be the best as empowering leader as you can, but you have to focus has to be off of you and on other people. And that's a hard thing to do because it's very sacrificial. But no one ever said leadership 5 level is easy. It just said that should be our direction we go. Okay, everybody, good? Did this help you guys? I kind of tied it to Manatech because I think it's helpful to see how we are in Manatech. And I think that's what helps you view where you are today in Manatech. What kind of leadership level do you exert today? And where do you need to go? Or where do you want to go? You don't need to do anything. You can choose to do something different. But what do you want to create in your life? And then from this direction, you can say, wow, now I know I need to become an empowering leader, Mary Jo, because I've never empowered people or I've always been an enabler. I want to empower people. There are a lot of enablers out there. We want to feel good about ourselves because we have all the answers. Woo-hoo! Where did that get you? When you start empowering people, they'll follow you anywhere. And then they'll recreate what you just created because they become powerful. And they may become more powerful than you. And that's a blessing. So keep that in mind. All right, any comments, questions? Good material for people.
Mary Jo, that hit the nail on the head, I tell you.
You got it? Did you find yourself somewhere in those levels?
Oh, my goodness. I've never seen this. I think I even bought this book for my daughter, and I've never read it.
I love that. That's so true.
I'm going to have it. Thanks. Very good.
So now you're going to go back and get it for yourself, right? Yeah, I know. We're so good at instructing other people to do things, but what about us? Yeah, great. Yep, wonderfully. Wonderful, good. Glad to hear it.
Good at that. Great stuff.
Great. It is great stuff. It's really powerful. It's really powerful. Anyone else? Okay, everybody, great. Well, have a great week. Let's get to work on our stuff and ourselves and, build those XFMs. Let's drive our business. And again, you don't go from level 1 to level 5. This is a gradual progression. So just work on yourself, work on growth, work on taking those steps, and you can be wherever you choose to be. You choose it and make it happen. And that's the most important thing for you to know, that all that power lives within you. It's just a matter of making the choices. All right, everybody, I love you all, and have a great, great week. This is the first week of business period 11, so we have 3 business periods left in this year, and it's a great time to make some, real good plans on what you're going to create in this last quarter of the year. It's also the first day of October. I love that. I love the fall, especially here in Texas, because it's so bloody warm for, August and September, our worst months, so now we're getting some nice cool air, which is wonderful. And I love up north for you guys up in Wisconsin where I used to live. Man, that the trees changing and everything, it's the most beautiful time of the year in my book, and seeing some of the first snowfalls come in. I mean, it's a great time of the year. It's a great time to be fresh and take a new look and a new view. And don't forget to be on that call tonight at 8 o'clock Central Daylight Time to hear about the Extreme Food Makeover Blitz they're doing. And have fun with it, people. There are a lot of ways to do it, and it's fun to do. We're enjoying every moment of them, and they're so easy to do. We did all the new formats with the video 1, video 2, video 3, REO 1, 2, or 3, da 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 da. I'm actually using the 4th video in my Extreme Lifestyle Makeover, but we have yet to get that, worked out with Rodney and with Manatech, but we are working on it. But love you guys. And what I might do next week, here, let me talk with you a little bit and see if I get some feedback from you. This weekend I did a training Saturday morning about how do I, number 1, share with a potential business builder, what do I share with them, how do I move them along, and then if they sign up, what are my next steps? And do any of you have problems with that? Is that something you'd like a training on? I think we're so focused sometimes on just getting people on Nutriveris that sometimes we leave out the fact that, some people out there might want to do the business. How are we doing? How are we finding those people? What are we doing to encourage them? What do we? What tools are available to bring on a business builder? So maybe what I haven't heard anyone say anything, but maybe get some feedback from some people and say maybe that's a good training to do next Monday morning. Okay, everybody.
Yeah. This is Rebecca. Yes, I just signed up two business builders, the one last week. And yes, that would be very helpful, so please do that.
Good. Great. Because you already, and obviously, Rebecca, you're already successful at doing it. But there are, you know, maybe it'll give you new ideas on how another person does it. And we can mix and blend, and people can contribute, and we'll just have a blast doing that. Because I really want people to start really working on that realm, that we have a great opportunity here for people, and we need to start, you know, sharing that. And I will also talk about things that might be holding you back from sharing the business opportunity, and I want you to be open and honest with me so we can answer those and we can show how it will, what? It will shift. We can help shift people. We use, here's one of my favorite comments. Use every objection as an opportunity to educate people. Use every objection as an opportunity to educate people. Okay? Don't fight them. Just use it as an opportunity. Okay, thank you guys. Have a great week. And we'll talk. Yeah.
Mary Jo, are you still there?
I'm here.
Okay. Could you do a training, because you do them so well. I've been listening to everyone, and I just haven't heard one as good as I think that you do, on once you get a nonprofit interested, looking at it and signed up, the steps that you take from there to help them build their nonprofit business.
Right. Uh-huh. Yep. I can do that. Absolutely. Good. Because some
okay,
of you guys are
that
nonprofit.
So yeah, that would be so helpful for so many of us because you always give the detail that we need. So.
Yep. Got it. Yeah, I kind of
okay,
I give you. I'm the supreme enabler with all that 1, 2, 3s. No, I'm kidding. We just had that training today. No. It's important to have the tools and the step by step. That's important. No question about it. And you guys are doing a great job getting the nonprofits on board. So let's make sure we're managing them properly. Right? That's really what
right.
you want to know. How, once you get a nonprofit, how do you manage it? Absolutely. Great. Because, you know what, and a good question, because you know why? Because I think there are a lot of people out there that aren't approaching nonprofits because they don't know what they would do with them once they get them. The same thing is true about business builders. Some of you aren't even approaching people with the business model because you don't know what you would do with them after you got them signed up. So you got to know what you're going to do with
them. Next the pastor.
Yeah.
That's not their job, so we've got
to
learn
how to do it. No, it's your job. It's your job.
Yeah.
Pastor already has a job, and you want him to spend all his time at that job, right? Right. Okay. All right, everybody, great idea. I'll put that on our list. All right, thanks. Take care. Have a great week. Bye.
Welcome to Verizon Wireless. The wireless customer you called is not available at this time. Please try your call again later. Announcement 1, switch 6-6. Welcome to Verizon Wireless. The wireless customer you called is not available at this time. Please try your call again later. Announcement 1, switch 6-6.